Letters and journals, the stuff of history. Letters and journals were the period equivalent of social media. They chronicled the daily lives, fears, tragedies, and triumphs of common people caught up in uncommon times. Seek them out. Turn them to your advantage. This episode is based on The Juno Letters, book number one of the Juno Letters series, available on Amazon and other ebook retailers. Letters discovered in a tin box hidden in the foundation of a small cottage in Normandy reveal a terrible secret. Antoine Bouchard's beautiful wife Marianne, his precious daughter Arielle, missing. The lives of hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Allied soldiers preparing to storm Juno Beach on D-Day literally are in his hands. Antoine must choose to find Marianne and Arielle or face hell, even if it means he could lose his family, his only friend, and his life. I discovered my grandfather's journal when I was readying for a flight to see my daughter in Germany back in 2012. Henry W. Anderson, known to his friends as Andy, was a young boy from Rockford, Illinois, who went to California only to be caught up in the recruiting frenzy called World War I. He boarded the RMS Carpathia on 14 January 1918 and set sail to England to join the AEF, the Allied Expeditionary Forces, commanded by General John Joseph Blackjack Pershing. Andy wrote in A Soldier's Diary, a small journal that had a pencil held in the spine for convenience. I took that journal with me on the plane and discovered a grandfather I never knew. Andy wanted to be an engineer. As a conscientious objector, based on his Baptist faith, he would not see combat. But once he landed in France, the Germans began a spring offensive, and Andy was assigned to make maps. This is the true backstory of the Juno Letters. What grew from this was a time-slip novel that bridged the gap between the end of World War I and World War II and climaxed on June 6th, 1944, D-Day, on Juno Beach, the Canadian objective. That's the title, The Juno Letters. The journal is real, and every instance using the journal is set off as block quotes and used verbatim. This lends credibility to the story. The letters, on the other hand, are fiction. I created them to drive the fictionalized part of the novel. It turns out to be a great combination. This is the letter that creates the mystery. 6 June, 1944. My dear Andy, this will be my last letter, for I will die this day, I am certain of it. I wish only to be remembered as a patriot, but that cannot be. Pray for me. You are my only friend. Antoine. Who is Antoine? Why is he writing to my grandfather, who, in real life, was a chaplain in the army serving in the Pacific? How does Andy know this Antoine writing to him on D-Day from France? What is his story? Yeah, that was the novel. Antoine's story. It has spawned 14 books in the series, something I had never planned on. The characters have bled over into 6 more books in 2 new series, and in book 14, The Village Bell, when my protagonist finds Marianne's remains below the wire compound at Nassweiler concentration camp in France, I cried my eyes out. I still cannot read that scene out loud, even though it is entirely fiction. When using historical materials as the basis for a novel, a writer always walks a fine line between fact and fiction. You have an inherent obligation to portray the context accurately, while at the same time your story, the detail, is often truncated, stylized, and rearranged to fit the style and format. Don't shy away from it. Ultimately, your goal is a work of fiction. The Juno Letters story creates an alternative view of how D-Day was successful. It is logical, well-developed through characters of the novel, and the presence of the journal lends credibility to the letters of the past and blurs the line between truth and fiction, don't shy away from making your own version of the truth. Mark Twain summarized the dichotomy best. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. The next will be part two, using actual letters to create your story. I'm L.W. Hewitt, and I've gone off-grid.